Hey, what's up? I'm Baylor Wilson, and my goal for the next 20 minutes is to direct your attention to the one who can save your soul, deliver you from oppression, and who loves you far more than that boy or girl you're trying to date. I'm kind of joking, but not. My prayer is to raise your faith and encourage you with real life stories, testimonies, and more that will hopefully cause you to fall deeper in love with Jesus. Hallelujah! Amen.
I totally feel what you mean by just clicking in.
Yeah, well, yeah. Whenever, like, even though we've talked about the Lord and talked about the Lord, suddenly we're aware of the Lord in our talking about the Lord, right? And then we're on track.
Wow.
You know? And honestly, it's going to be interesting to me because I feel freshly on track this week.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to me the differences in some of the recordings.
Wow.
It'll just be interesting to see. And the podcast and everything.
Just everything.
Just everything.
The progression of it.
I just know when I'm on really on track and when I'm not. Sometimes I don't remember how to get back on track. You know, that's why I said sometimes I wish I could go away for like a week to recover myself. Henry Wright talks about recovering yourself in the Word. Wow. Sometimes I just feel like, oh, I am like losing my way. And I mean losing my faith or losing my salvation. I just mean I'm tired.
Yeah.
There's a lot, you know what I mean? And I'm not breaking through my own thought processes to Him. And it has been a fresh discipline to fresh diligence in meditation that has changed for me. Yeah, because as I meditate on His Word, I become aware of, oh, there's a difference between this and my heart.
Woo.
My heart sometimes is so one with Him that I can't feel any difference when I read the Word and when I'm thinking.
Wow.
But sometimes there's a very clear, vast difference. And then I know I'm losing my way.
Yeah.
And He's the way, so I come right back here to get my heart back in sync with His Word. My heart in alignment with His Word again. Towards like breathing. Whoa. And now I'm thinking of John, where the book of John, where Jesus says, let my words remain in you. You know, if my words remain in you and you remain in me, you can ask whatever you wish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's just I know for me, I just know. Sometimes I don't always know when it's not, but I know when it is.
Me too.
I know when I'm in step with the Lord.
Me too.
I'll sometimes justify when I'm not.
Me too. Which is why my meditation has been the Lord directs the steps of the godly.
The godly.
The godly.
Not the ones who were godly for a minute.
Exactly.
Or 3 years.
Or are trying to be godly, but really not being godly.
Or teach at a godly church.
Or act godly because their pastor's godly.
Or have a podcast for...
called Eyes on Jesus.
Godliness.
Called Godly, Godly, Godly.
Listen, when I stand before Him, I don't want to fool myself.
Me either. Me either.
And the only place I feel love, that I feel safe, is in His love. And I know He loves me, but do I love Him? Mm. So when we were just talking, and we'll do a recap a little bit just in case the video wasn't working. Like,
yeah.
We were talking about the dream where I was, or the vision where I was told, you know, distractions make themselves irresistible. You need to keep your eyes focused on Jesus, on the prize.
On the prize.
It took me 3 years to find out the prize was Jesus.
Right.
I thought the prize was what I was supposed to do for Jesus. I didn't know the prize was Jesus.
And I'm seeing it right now.
Right.
More than ever I've ever seen that the prize is Jesus.
Right. Right now you're having a revelation of that.
Full on.
And then you started talking about when I sent you a message, find Him.
Find Him. Yeah. You You said, find him in the trauma. Find him in the drama. Just find him. Find him. Find him. And I remember you. I remember it like piercing into my spirit. Like, find him. Find him. And I can hear your voice. But it was the Holy Spirit through you. Find him. Find him. Find him. And there was a season where that's all I did.
Find him.
Was find him.
And then I was saying, and find him in trying to find out what it is he wants you to do. Because God forbid we find out, and this is where it hit. God forbid we find out what he wants us to do without finding you. I said, God forbid we find out what you want us to do
without
finding you. Because what you want us to do is find you. And find you again.
That's what you said.
And find you again. And this is what Roland Baker wrote in Keeping the fire. Find him. It's one of the core values of Iris. Find him. And tomorrow, find him again.
Find him again.
And so I used to call it finding my lane. Now we'll just say finding him.
Finding him.
And I remember sitting down with someone who was very full of pride. And they said something. And I said, find him. So I found him. I said, oh, pretty much is this why your life looks like it does now? Find him again.
Woo!
You know, because we can just get so distracted by so many things about him and forget him. I mean, I tell our church regularly, this church.
Yeah.
You could full on hardcore pursue your destiny and miss God completely. But if we pursue him with all of our heart, because everything we need is in him, you'll never miss anything.
Wow.
You won't miss anything he has for you if you pursue him. But you could pursue all that he has for you and miss him. You could pursue what he wants you to do and miss him. Because he's a real him. He's real, and he's not just like writing out to-do lists and throwing them at the church. This is yours, this is yours, this is yours. He's saying to the church, come, I miss you.
Why do you think people like to-do lists, though? Like, I think a lot of people, I've just heard in passing, like, well, if you would just tell me what to do.
Worth and value.
Right.
Because a lot of people feel, I don't fight this as much. I can in certain areas. I don't fight it in kind of regular life.
Yeah.
I can fight it more here at church.
Yeah.
In regular life, I don't fight it as much because my mom never wanted me to feel that my worth was tied to doing.
Wow.
Because hers was.
Yeah.
So I don't really have that natural temptation.
Yeah.
But I think people derive worth from, it starts early. If you do this right, you get attention, you get love, you don't get beaten, whatever.
You get a trophy.
You get a trophy. You get
applause.
Yeah, you get approval.
Approval.
So I think people attach their worth and value to their doing much more than being his.
Being his, which is why you say my identity is
I'm his.
Instead of my identity is Cheyenne, who's a singer and a, you know what I mean? It's like not
pastor's
that.
Wife.
Pastor's wife, pastor's sister. Like that could be an identity.
Founder of a church.
Right.
Some people would say apostle or something.
Yeah.
You know, and get a card made. Right. I mean, probably at this point, like I was listening to some podcast this morning and I'm like, oh, people have called this is apostolic. And so right. Now that people are wanting to plan it in even other countries, like, oh, that's, so then I would see myself as an apostle.
Oh, right.
You see?
Right. I see what you're saying.
But like, I'm terrified of that kind of stuff. I'm not terrified. I'm not even entering the debate of are apostles still around or, I just don't even care about all that. I'm even saying as a mom, but I got this from God. When he said, I'm putting two conditions on this life. I just want to like,
I've been repeating this so much lately in my life.
You have?
Yes. Yes.
I want to sit down and weep because it's so real and I know that I'll give account to him based on these words.
This part's recording. Yeah, we're good.
He said, I'm putting two conditions. Like, when I say this, I'm almost afraid to talk anymore. Because some days it's real for me and some days it's just a story. But when I stand before him, it's going to be very real. Michaela just laid down.
We should start having an open audience to the podcast.
Let's do it.
Okay.
I would love that.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Lord said two conditions. One, the first one is no pride. He said, I'll give you 2 of 3 to catch it personally.
I just told someone about this.
Well, you know, it's interesting as you go through life and you live.
Yeah.
That the warnings for tomorrow are suddenly today.
Ooh. Wow.
It felt comforting and awesome as long as it was a warning about my future, and then suddenly it was today.
I can definitely apply that with my own warnings.
Think about the children of Israel. They welcomed the warnings as long as it applied to their future. But when it became their today, they ignored them. And that's what I found myself wanting to do. Yeah, it's okay. It's fine. It's fine. I can play around a little bit, like.
Yeah. Wow, Cheyenne.
But the warnings were written for us. What happened to them was written for our benefit, and that means for my benefit, not the benefit of my church.
Ooh!
God is serious about me. He's jealous for me. He's jealous for you, not just your listeners. He treasures you, not just the ones you tell about him. He... He longs for me. He longs for me. He longs for you. And so he said, on 0 to 10, I'll give you a 3. And if you get past that 3, I'll shut the whole thing down.
Didn't he also say seek success?
Yeah, that was the second
one. Second thing, yeah.
He said, and never seek success.
Wow.
I said, yes, Lord.
When was this? Was this early, like when it
very
first?
Very early. Not very first. Within the next year.
Okay.
And so then one day I'm listening, I'm reading the Bible in my kitchen, Ezekiel 16.
Wow.
Where God finds the baby in the field. Abandoned, and he washes the cord blood, and he anoints her with oil and grows. And when she grows and she's ready for love, wow, that confirms 2 Peter 1, that love is like an 8-step process, and it starts with faith, baby faith. Faith grows into love. The Bible says when she was ready for love, whoa, he married her.
Like the process it took.
Yeah.
To be ready.
Yeah. And he covered her shame. He covered her nakedness with his mantle, his cloak.
Yeah.
But he adorned her with jewels and tiara and all this stuff. And I was like flipping out in my kitchen like, this is me. I was abandoned. You found me. You're lavishing your love on me. You're giving me all these gifts. Wow. And then I started reading again, and it said basically she took the gifts he gave her and prostituted herself with them. And then I'm like, no, Lord, please, please, please don't let it be me. And he said, do you remember the conditions I put on you? Yes, Lord. He said, you thought I was a tyrant. That you accepted them because you had nothing else. And he said, if you just want, be proud and think it's from you.
Mm.
If you just won't seek success, our love will stay pure. And that's what I'm after. He said, my interest and me and you is me and you. My interest in you is your love. Not you gaining a platform and reaching a wider audience, prostituting yourself with the gifts I've given you. He said, now I'm not saying you won't have success, even what people would term success. He said, I'm saying that if you seek success, I'll shut it down. If you seek me, you'll surely have success. And he said, I'm not just talking about music, ministry. I'm talking about don't try to be a successful mother. Wow. Seek me and you'll be a successful mother. Don't try to be a successful wife. Seek me. I'll make you a successful wife. But then he showed me, I didn't show you this for months, because if I told you that at the beginning, you would have gone around to still try to seek success. So he made it appear that I'd never have success. And I said, yes.
Oh!
Because he's success.
Right.
He is success.
Right. I love the way you said it recently, that being aware of his presence is success also.
Yeah, and I don't want to lose him.
Right.
I've had several people in the last week or two, as we're having more and more leaders visit our church, and they'll say the same thing. Thank you for stewarding the presence of God so well. And I'm just like, I know what they mean, and I know it's kind of a language in the church.
Yeah.
But I don't get it, because I'm not stewarding his presence well for others. I'm terrified of losing him. I don't want to grieve him. I don't want to offend him.
Right.
I want him to be pleased, because if he's not pleased, he'll leave.
Right.
His glory will leave our church.
Yeah.
And so I'm not trying, honestly, to steward or host his presence so others can come in. Like, they'll walk in and be like, whoa, it's so thick in here. And then immediately I'm congratulated. It's not me.
Right.
I know it's not me. I hope I know it's not me.
Right. Right.
I'm trying desperately to know it's not me. Anyone who loves him and fears him can have him.
Wow.
And his presence is attracted to a heart who wants him and fears him.
Yeah. He searches to and fro to find a heart that trusts him.
Yeah. So my prayer is that I finish well.
Me too.
Bye.
Bye. It's like when I tripped earlier and you went, oh, are you okay? Quietly, are you okay?
I think it's amazing, though, because this is like a true picture of our church.
True picture.
This is a true picture of how we've grown and how the Lord has raised us up for these conversations with these kind of revelations in the middle of them.
It's life.
Life.
I'm still stuck on when you said that he didn't show you the second part because you would have gone around.
I would have.
I'm applying that to the words he's given me.
Good. Because if I'd known, oh, I will have success as long as I don't seek success. Okay, I'm not going to seek success, so I'll have success.
Because we're so human.
Because we're so, huh? Yeah, because we're so human. So he left that out. So that I would think for the rest of my life, I'll never look successful to anyone. And I said, yes. Because
I see what
I'd found him, and he was so amazing and intoxicating and such a relief to my poor dying body.
Right.
Stressed out body.
Yeah.
My body's not dying now, but I was like back not then. In a good place.
Yeah.
Emotionally, mentally. So I thought saying yes to him meant I would never have any type of success. And I said yes. Because I think if I'd heard then, okay, if you'll come be with me and seek me. I'm going to make you successful. I would have jumped right to, oh, I still will look successful. That's awesome. I thought like I'd blown it.
Wow.
I didn't even know why God wanted me. I thought my life was over. I had nothing to offer. I felt used up. I thought all my potential was behind me. So I couldn't figure out why he wanted me.
We don't have to put this in, but I'm staring at you as a sheep of this house, a sheep of God, who God brought to this house, who has been poured into for the last 4 years by you, God through you. And I totally understand what you're saying right now.
Yeah.
Like, I really do understand, like, I don't know. Okay, yes to no success, Lord. Like, I hear you saying that to him. And then I understand also the fear of God around you not knowing, because this could be called successful in some capacity.
In some capacities.
Of how about just like young people wanting God? Like,
that's what everybody says. That's we have leaders come in from all over now. Just to sit in his presence. And they're, you know what they say? Every time. The young people.
The young people.
Because that's where the value is.
Yeah.
But I thought, because I've been told by a manager, my manager, he apologized to me in secular music. He apologized to me for wasting the best years of my life.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah. Somewhere my mind believed it.
Ugh.
So why would God come to me now when my best years were behind me? How could I ever be of any value to him now? Because my value was tied to what I could have done for him.
I know I'm getting potentially set free right now, for sure. In the most, I know, in Jesus' name, Lord, set me free. Yes. But I am just feeling the gravity, Cheyenne, of this being a massive corporate lie, especially in ministry circles.
I think it's why pastors are suicidal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm telling you, I resist. I think it's why a lot of them are on anxiety medication.
Depression medication.
Right. I feel the temptation.
I understand.
To maintain something I didn't even start. The Bible says, you know, you think you can finish by the arm of the flesh. Something started in the spirit, basically.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact wording.
Right.
Do you know how quickly I could step into that year?
Right.
Especially as more people come from other streams and churches and circles. Like, people are driving 12 more hours just to be in one service or a weekend service, just because it's so rare to find a place where they can just be in the presence of God.
People are flying from Lake Tahoe this weekend.
Literally.
Actually. So, yeah.
Yeah. And so, to feel the pressure, but see, I would prostitute myself if I start trying to make sure what's going on here fits their expectation.
Stays,
they get what, like, they desired.
Right.
They tell others, you know, somehow maintaining a reputation.
Wow.
How can I meet their needs?
Ugh.
I think of this often, that when Jesus asked Peter if he loved him and then said, feed my sheep, that he had just fed Peter. And I think a lot of times we try to feed his sheep hungry.
Starving.
Yeah. And yet he called Peter from what he was had gone back to do, catching fish.
Yeah.
And he had already prepared the fish. The risen Savior fed him.
On the beach, right?
Yeah, I think so. So, like, I don't want to be guilty of trying to give people what they've come for.
Right.
When I don't even have what he came for.
Oh. Ah. Bye. That's the real ending. Bye. See y'all next week.
See, these are real thoughts that I have every day in every service. Because I don't want to be a prostitute. I don't want to lose him. Do you know how fast it could happen?
Yeah. I can imagine how fast. I can imagine.
People don't think I'm capable of it. But if Paul was capable of becoming a castaway, what about me?
Yeah, I can imagine it's possible just based on I'm one human in this little body and the amount of needs that I sometimes bring to you guys. I'm just being honest, like I'm not always expecting responses or anything like that. I'm just saying with my little life, if you and Kevin started to like maintain
just me situation,
I'm just talking about just me.
This is so good. And I'm so thankful for your honesty.
Well, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. I mean, this is real. Like
to help others.
Right. Yeah. Totally to help others. And to like, and because you and me and Cheyenne and Kevin and all of us are going to individually stand before God.
They're going to stand before
God. And he will be our judge. And he will say,
well done.
Well done.
Or
I didn't know you.
Yeah.
Right. And so like I can see how you not being fed could become like prostitution.
And what I can see from her in Ezekiel 16 is that God's desire for her was not enough anymore.
Oh,
his desire for her was enough when he was all she had. His desire for her was enough when no one else wanted her. But then he made her into the most beautiful person. And he says in the Bible, you thought your beauty was yours. And then she used the beauty he had given her. She wouldn't even be alive without him. Every gift she used to draw lovers were gifts he had given her. Not only were the gifts not her own, she was not her own. She was married to him. But what she longed for was to feel desired.
But the desire wasn't enough for her anymore.
She was still desired.
His desire.
But it wasn't enough. I think this is probably one of the biggest traps I would imagine. I'm no marriage expert, but I would imagine one of the biggest traps in marriage for a woman is not feeling desired. Like I tell the men in our church, the best piece of advice I can give you, technical advice outside of this is the best advice. It's all here.
Right.
But pursue your wife like you did when you dated her. You know, if we could just stay feeling desired, you know, then we would probably never succumb to any other
anything
flattery or anything.
Right.
But now I'm looking for the first time. Well, now I'm just thinking out loud. In Song of Solomon, he did pursue her, but there came a time she needed to pursue him.
Oh no. Oh no. Dun dun dun. I'm just kidding. It's actually a dun dun dun. And all the wives got delivered.
Right. Because this woman in Ezekiel 16, which was a nation, I guess, it was representative of was it Judah, maybe? Yeah. I don't know. Read your Bible.
Yeah.
I have read it so many times, but I still don't remember exactly. Yeah. She did pursue lovers. In fact, not only was she, it wasn't that she was getting paid for her services, she was paying them.
That's right.
To come to her.
She was paying them for flattery plus other things.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And this is a picture of the church, you know.
Right.
It is also what was happening in the Old Testament.
Right.
But see, I can't say, this is what I'm learning, is that anytime the Lord gives me a dream or a warning, he's not saying, I'm warning you because this will never happen to you.
Right.
I think I used to think the dreams and the warnings safeguarded me.
Oh!
Now I'm learning the dreams and the warnings are because it's bound to.
It's bound to.
And I'm going to be tempted.
So here's your warning.
Right. In other words, the Lord's saying,
wow,
don't have pride and don't seek success means I'm 100% going to be prone to be proud and seek success.
Wow.
For some reason, for a long time, I thought, oh, he told me that because I never will. Or something. I don't know. Like, I knew it was a warning, don't. But I thought, hello?
Yeah. Oh, that's like his last warning to me. You've been faithful with little. I'm bringing you much. But be careful not to lose your focus or footing. Pretty sure I lost my focus and my footing in the last year.
The warnings are from love. And what the warnings can show you is what you're going to be prone to.
Wow.
Back to, because we didn't even stay there, but I don't want to forget it. I don't want to try to give people what they came for when I don't even have what he came for, which is he came to bring life and life more abundantly.
That's right.
Can you imagine if I got into the trap of like, oh, everybody wants an encounter.
Ugh.
And I haven't been encountered by him. And like, they just need peace, and I don't have peace. Because he came so that I can have righteousness, peace, joy.
It's like that one encounter you had with him where we were outside, or you were outside in your car, and he came to you and was like, I'll bring them. What did he say?
Yeah.
He said, yeah. I love that story.
He said, you're doing it.
You're doing it.
You're pointing them to me. And then he said, ask for anything.
Yeah. He kept saying, he was saying something like, I'll bring them, like bring, keep yeah. bringing
he
them
said,
to me.
He said, keep pointing to me.
Keep pointing to me.
I'll and lead I'll, them, I'll teach lead them, feed them.
That.
Which clearly we have a role. But he right. was taking, I think, the pressure off my shoulders. Because I used to freak out if too many people came. I really did. You know, Kevin wasn't. You. We weren't in unity. Kevin and Holy Spirit really weren't in unity.
Right.
And I just, all I could see, every crowd that came, I just saw wolf, 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 wolf.
Yeah. Wolf, wolf, wolf.
Yeah.
Wolf.
And I felt so responsible to protect the little flock.
That's a lot of pressure.
It was a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Because I knew a lot of people came to get a miracle. And then they were mixed in. And that was awesome. Except I really did. I judged people so much. I did. I was like, so you want a miracle, but you don't want Jesus? And then Jesus started showing me, I healed them all.
Wow.
Who are you?
Who are you? Don't turn them away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the big deal was people kept coming wanting a platform to prophesy and lay hands on people, and I wasn't having it.
Yeah. You know?
Because a lot of them were living in unrepentant sin, no spiritual covering.
Right.
Would not read the Bible. So for me, I just would like try to push them away with really hard preaching. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And now I don't feel that fear.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like not attached to, even if you do preach hard preaching, you're not like doing it out of.
No.
Right.
Not at all. It's so people can live.
Right. Amen.
And know the truth.
Amen.
But no, it's not to scare people away anymore.
Yay.
I have Kevin now.
Yeah, Kevin scares everyone. No, I'm just kidding. He does not.
I know he doesn't.
Kevin makes everyone laugh.
But if there needs to be a discussion, he's not afraid to
he's
have
not
it.
Not afraid. Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you,
Thank
Jesus.
You, Jesus.
Woohoo!
Thank you, Jesus.
Unity.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Wow. This was amazing.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, that you show up.
Do you see how much more we need to be praying and fasting and humbling ourselves? Thank you.